Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Todman, the running back to the left of Bortles. He's in a shotgun. Straight drop. Four-man rush. It's only a three-man rush. Bortles fires it out to the right side. That's caught. Inside the 20-yard line. Allen Robinson still on his feet. Inside the five. Inside the net. Touchdown, Jaguars! Robinson got away from a tackle. And the Jags are on the board. A 31-yard touchdown pass. Two tight end set. Denard Robinson, the running back. Under center is Bortles. They'll give it to Denard, running to the left. Down to through the corner. Inside the five-yard line. Dives to an end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville! How do you like that? Denard Robinson burst into the end zone. And the Jaguars lead by 10.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome into another episode of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at TIAA Bank Field. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
I did not go bowling with Calais last night.
No, neither did I.
That's okay. Nice of Calais to be out there, like many Jaguars do, raising money for the community, doing things like that. You know, we always say, hey, we should talk about these things more. We're never going to all that much, right? I mean, we talk about the things that happen on the field and the things that directly impact the things that happen on the field. But it is nice that guys out there are organizing various charity events and giving back and all that. I think for the Jaguar fans' perspective, look, if you went last night, fantastic. You had a good time. Maybe you rubbed some elbows with some of your favorite Jacksonville Jaguars. Or maybe the more interesting stuff are the quotes coming out of last night's event, courtesy of John Reed at the Florida Times-Union, who posted a couple of different articles. One about the fact that Calais and Miles Jack are both in contact with Telvin Smith, or at least have been in contact with Telvin Smith. So we know that Telvin's phone does work. We assume it's a phone. I don't know. Maybe it was a face-to-face encounter. Calais saying last night, I quote, I was able to speak to him a little bit, you know, and that was good for me. He's an incredible guy, knows the game of football. When he says he needs a moment, needs some time, you have to respect that. This is a guy that dedicated his life to the game and has for a long time. I'm here for him. Miles Jack said on his behalf, we've had communications on my end. Everything is clear. I completely understand where he's coming from. And I think on his end, there's more important things he needs to take care of in his life than the game of football, which I respect. I think that's great because it's hard for a lot of people to walk away from the game the way he's doing it on his own terms. You got to respect it. I'm definitely going to miss him out there. And now that's fine. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, have no idea. Don't need to know what the specifics are. I don't even know if these guys know what the specifics are of it.
Yeah, who knows?
If you could talk to them, it's like at this point you feel like it's just there's something, at least I feel. I'm not going to say you. I feel like there's got to be something, some reason why Telvin Smith is slighting the organization. Because that's what he's doing. He's totally disrespecting the organization. He could talk to the players on the team. Does he feel wronged in some way? I have no idea. I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze Telvin Smith.
No.
But the fact that he has communicated with some of his teammates, I guess, is good on one hand. But on the other hand, it makes me, I guess, a little bit even more curious why he couldn't have any contact or at least return a call, a text, something from a member of the organization outside of the guys on the 53-man roster.
So. No, it's hard to figure out exactly, you know, what any of that is or why or what any of it means. Look, we talked about it when this story broke. There is a business end to this that the Jaguars are going to have to handle. And they need to be able to have a conversation with Telvin and figure out what's going on before they know exactly how they can go forward.
Are you going to proceed based on a couple of Instagram posts?
Right. It's, look, from a business perspective, Telvin, if he has still not talked to the team, is putting them in a bad spot. Like, he just is.
Well,
the reality of it is he's putting them in a bad spot.
I think if you try to put him on the reserve did not report list, that's when you send the five-day letter.
Yep.
And then it's his choice. You don't want to reply, you don't have to reply. But after 5 days, you go on that list and you don't have the option anymore of coming back in the 2019 season. And that is ultimately the mechanism that will protect the team.
Sure.
We may be a long way off from that. They probably don't, you know, let's at least try to get a semblance of knowing what's the root of this before we know how, you know, how permanent is this. And maybe it is in terms of 2019 permanent. I'm talking about this season.
And you are, look, I don't need to know. What's going on? Like, I don't know that his teammates need to know.
Don't
like,
need a press release. Don't need
any of that. I would just like to have someone from the team say, yeah, we talked to Telvin. We're straight.
We're clear on where things stand. Yeah. And we could proceed with a little bit more information. That's all we're talking about here.
That's all. And if he needs the time off, take the time off, buddy. Like, that's fine. If you need it, take it. I don't have an issue with that. But talk to somebody.
Yeah, some people do. Some people don't. Whatever the case may be. This isn't all about Telvin, but when these guys make comments, is the first time we've heard some of his teammates talk about having been in contact with him.
Miles was kind of funny about it.
The story's going to continue to be in the news.
Yeah, Miles was basically like, I've tried to play devil's advocate. I was like, basically trying to tell him, why are you doing it? Like, it sounded like Miles was like, why are you doing this? All right, if he's cool with it, I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's look, it's everyone's personal choice. If whatever, anybody wanted to take a leave of absence and they had the wherewithal to do it and not get fired, you know, in different industries are different, right?
Yeah.
I hear people, I couldn't do that in my job. Well, that's your job, you know? You don't have his job and you don't have his skills in that particular field. Now, more interestingly, I think, is Miles Jack's adamant statement that I ain't going to the weak side, baby. I am the middle linebacker. Hold on here. You've gotten me ready to go. I'm finally comfortable, and now you want to switch me up? I mean, not everyone wants to switch him up, but it's obviously something we discussed a good bit this week. What is the configuration going to be in this linebacking core? Miles Jack stating last night, quote, I'm playing Mike Backer, no question about it. Obviously, there's no secret we're going to have to find a weak side linebacker, a Will. As for me, I'm playing Mike until my time up here in Jacksonville is done. I've moved around in this defense, and at this point, I feel comfortable playing Mike, and it fits me. I definitely can understand the perspective of seeing where I would thrive at Will, but that means we'd have to find somebody else to run the defense to play Mike. That would be hard to bring in a first-year guy and try to get everybody lined up. In other words, look, he had to do it, right? And there was an adjustment for Miles Jack. He didn't do it immediately, right? He kind of transitioned into it with Posluszny being the middle linebacker and then Miles sliding in there on third down and having Puz to lean on. And I suppose you could make the case where you could do the same thing with Miles and somebody else, and then Miles slides, you know, and there's a lot of moving parts there, right?
Sure.
Oftentimes, when a guy goes down, you question, like on the offensive line, do we move this guard, who we think would be our next best tackle, over to right tackle, or do we leave him there because now you're playing less than your best right tackle and less than your best right guard? You know, just as an example, I'm not talking about any specific players here, right? And that's the theory. Do you leave the guy where he's best at, leave him alone there, and then, look, no matter who you put at the right tackle position in that example, it's going to be less than who the starter is. And I think that is what Miles Jack is saying. Look, this is my spot now. This is where I'm comfortable. This is where I'm most likely to thrive. And – oh, by the way, don't overlook the fact that Jake Ryan or anybody else that you think is going to come in here and run this defense, there's going to be some kind of a transition period, and can we afford to have that right now?
And I think it's important to point out, too, that a follow-up question was basically asked, is this you speaking or has the team told you this? And Miles Jack was like, this is me.
Right.
This isn't the team. This is me saying I'm the Mike. And, look, we'll see how the team wants to deal with everything that's going on and what's going on at the linebacker position. But you're asking me right now who the middle linebacker is for this team. It's Miles Jack. Like, and I love the attitude, and I would love to see Miles be that guy. Absolutely.
Right. But we also love when the guys come in. We were talking about, hey, I'll do whatever. You need me to play, you know, nickel corner? I'll play nickel corner. You want me to play running back? I'll play running back.
Right. And I don't read what Miles said as I'm not going to do whatever they want me to do. I think it's the attitude of when I show up.
This is my spot.
When we get on the field, you got to take it from me. Yeah, which I like that.
Right, and that's fine. Look, and ultimately, that's maybe the way it ends up. I think ideally, we talked about this yesterday, ideally Quincy Williams accelerates his learning curve
absolutely
to the point where he's ready to go. I watched some of those highlights again last night
it's ridiculous.
It really is. And, you know, he is looking to lift you off the ground and drive you through the turf every time he tackles you.
Oh, if that translates to the league.
Yeah. Well, that was a question, too, some people made in the comments of one of his YouTube highlight videos. Is his head up all the time? Like, is his tackling technique
right
cohesive with the new rules in the National Football League? All right, we'll talk about that a little bit today if you want to get into it. The question of the day is out there as well, posted from our friends at Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. It's an easy one. Would you favor or be interested in some kind of a draft lottery system for the National Football League, a la what we see in the NBA? Maybe not the exact same system, but we'll talk about some of the different permutations. By the way, overwhelmingly, people are saying, no lottery for us in the National Football League. I don't know if that's tradition. I don't know if they just don't like the way things have gone with the lottery, but we'll kick that around a little bit so you can vote on that at MD_1010XL. You know all the ways to get involved with the program, but we'll restate them when we come back here in just a moment. Just getting underway, Wednesday show here live from TIAA Bank Field. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yeah!
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, live at TIAA Bank Field. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you for the majority of the next 2 hours. If you'd like to get on board, a number of ways to do it. Of course, on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. That number is the same for either 1-641-1010. Or you can hit us up on our Twitter poll today. Overwhelmingly against an NFL draft lottery. But obviously, it's a topic that's been kicked around in a lot of circles with this highly anticipated last night's NBA draft lottery.
Sure.
Clearly, the NBA had it in to give the two smallest television markets in the league the top two picks. I mean, because obviously it's fixed, right? I mean, here's the thing. Just as an aside here, what is it? Is it Deloitte and Touche or one of these companies that certifies the results? Like a $1 billion operation. They're going to put their reputation on the line to fix Zion Williams going to the New York Knicks or the LA Lakers for what? For what? What would they? I mean, what is the upside for them in that?
None for them.
None, right? And they're the ones who are certifying the results of something like this. So, to me, just absolutely ludicrous. So, today's question of the day, if you'd like to weigh in, is would you be in favor of some kind of a draft lottery for some or even all of the teams that don't make the NFL playoffs? And for those who vote yes, and I realize it's about one-fifth of you right now, what kind of system would you like to employ? What kind of thing would you like to see set up? Because there has not been a perfect system, as we know, right? The NBA felt that the top team, the worst team, having a 25% chance, that 25% compared to some other percentages was too much of an incentive to lose games down the stretch or maybe throughout the course of the season. And 25% is a pretty significant. You got a 1-in-4 shot at having the top pick right there. 14%, and you have the same amount as the second and third place team? Not as much. And you saw how it worked out last night. A team with a 6% chance ended up winning, which always was potentially possible anyway.
But from an NBA perspective, like, they switched the percentages around to try to do something about tanking in their league, and it didn't do anything about tanking.
No,
they
tanked. They tanked all season long because there was still. It's still better to have a 14% chance than a 2% chance.
Yeah,
right. I mean, at least unless you're the Lakers with the 2% chance, because they ended up with the fourth pick ahead of a couple of those teams that did have a 14% chance. But I thought this was interesting, Tony, and it's never going to happen. But I thought it was interesting nonetheless. That Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, put out a proposition, said, look, you really want to do some kind of a lottery thing, because the lottery, you can't tell me that there weren't a lot of NBA fans watching last night, right? If your team had a ping pong ball, you had a chance to get Zion Williamson, right? And he was clearly the prize last night. He was on hand. I mean, maybe a transformative talent. I said several times, not that we talk about it on the show a lot, 3 years from now, I think he'll be the face of the NBA. Now, will he be that in a smaller market? I'm not sure, but I think talent-wise, he has a chance to be the face of the NBA 3-4 years down the road, right? So, great interest in watching that.
The NBA is enough about stars that, yeah, I mean, he could be the face of the NBA.
Could be the face of the NBA.
There could be guys that want to go play with him.
Absolutely, right? And especially if Anthony Davis sticks around, and you got Drew Holiday,
you don't have to be
in
the big market. Yeah, you don't have to be in the big market to make it.
Look at Giannis, right? Milwaukee's not the biggest market out there, and Giannis is a superstar.
Sure.
At this point, he's maybe not on the level of the LeBron, Kevin Durant, but he's starting to approach that.
Sure.
So that's the interest level when it comes to the NBA. Well, how much interest is there in the NBA compared to the interest in the National Football League? It's dwarfed by the interest in the NFL. Could you imagine an NFL draft lottery and what that would mean for your team sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to get Tua. I'm going to get Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to get whoever they get. I'm going to turn my team is going to turn their franchise around with the bounce of the ping pong ball or whatever system they would use. So Florio goes, look, the NFL, won't do a draft lottery because they don't even want to acknowledge that tanking is a thing. That's even possible. Even though, I mean, how many stories have you read this offseason about the Miami Dolphins' plan for 2019? And how many of those have not included the word tanking or being as non-competitive as possible or whatever? Right? I mean, there's so much of that narrative coming out of South Florida that they're stripping it down. And yes, they're taking on Josh Rosen, but maybe as a guy that they can flip for something else of greater value next year and trying to position themselves to get in line to possibly take Tua Tagovailoa, if I'm saying it properly. I still struggle with that one. But to tank for Tua or whoever that turns out to be, right, being the most valuable commodity. So Florio says, here's an idea. Just throwing this out there, that you want to incentivize winning in the National Football League, still have a lottery, okay? The top 12 teams, the teams that make the playoffs, nothing changes. You get slotted by your playoff exit. You know, you get the 21st pick and the 22nd pick, go to the first two teams out with the worst records in the playoffs, just like the system is now. Nothing changes for those teams. The Super Bowl champ and runner-up get the 31st and 32nd pick.
Mm-hmm.
I said it backwards, but you get the idea. Take the other 20 teams and give them each one ping pong ball, right? Now, Grant, I know a lot of people are saying the worst teams should get the best players, okay? Why, right? His point is why, especially if you're in a position like the Colts. We're going to lose as much as possible because we know what the prize is. The prize is Andrew Luck, and it's transformational for our franchise. The Miami Dolphins feel that the only way to get out of mediocrity is to bottom out. Well, if you did go to that system, which they never will, but it's kind of fun for me to think about, if you did go to that system, forget tanking, and there'd be zero. If you're not going to make the playoffs, winning is still the best possible thing. It's good for your fan base. It doesn't hurt your chances to improve your organization. Now, would there be all kinds of cries of unfair, if the 20th, I guess the 13th best team in the league at the number one overall pick, so be it.
I mean, you're talking about a system where last year a 9-7 Pittsburgh team could have had the first pick.
That's right. I am.
I don't like that at all.
Well, I'm not saying – look, that's why – look, the poll's overwhelmingly on your side. People don't want any kind of a system.
And if you go back to the Colts team that everyone talks about, that tanking Colts team, that Colts team won two of their last three.
Okay.
Like, I get it. They stank. I don't necessarily think
they won two of their last three, and what was their final record?
They were 2-14.
Right, so they were in position to be able to afford to win a couple of games.
I think the argument for how often teams in the NFL tank, it just doesn't happen. Like, maybe there are occasions where you can say, I think that team was tanking, but you can't even definitively look at the Colts that year and say they tanked. They lost Peyton Manning.
Sure they did.
I mean, they lost Peyton Manning. I don't even know what other injuries they had. I'd have to go look at that 2011 Colts team to look at what injuries they had.
All right, let me ask you this then. Let's presume, and again, overwhelming majority don't want any kind of a lottery system.
Sure.
But let's say there had to be a lottery system. What's the fairest lottery system you could employ? That wouldn't encourage tanking, because all of a sudden, it's already in a position where if you win more games, you're going to hurt your draft position. Now, I get it. You can argue, look, the Jaguars were in that position. Did it matter to them down the stretch? Things happen. Other teams won or lost, and it impacted the Jaguars' standings that had nothing to do with them in terms of where they picked. So maybe you're right. Maybe it doesn't happen all that often, and coaches' jobs are on the line. But if the management says, you know what, guys, we got a three times better chance if we lose this game to have the number one overall pick than we will if we win this football game. I'm not going to be too upset if you play some of the young guys, wink, wink, this week. You know what I mean?
Sure, but I think in the NFL that's a week problem. It's not a season problem, right? Like, even if you are talking about tanking in the NFL, it's we've played so poorly. Like, we've been so bad all year.
For the most part, I would agree with that.
That we're at the end of this thing. What's the point in messing it up now? Like, and I, from that, as a fan, I understand that side of it, right? Like, I can understand a team in week 17 saying, what's the point of winning this? And I don't have an issue with that. If it helps your draft position, I don't like the idea of a team that was basically a playoff team getting the opportunity to have the number one pick against a team that was bad enough that they had the consideration in week 17, is it worth it to win a game? Like, I think giving that team that is that bad the opportunity to have a better player is why the NFL has become the NFL.
If you're going to bet on a team to have the number one pick in next year's NFL draft.
Miami.
They went 7-9 last
year. I know they did.
Right.
Yeah.
So why would you bet on Miami then?
Because they're tearing it down to the studs.
Because you think they're tanking, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And that's
and it might work for them or might not.
It might. You're right. But does it improve their odds to rip it down to, as you said, to the studs, with the exception of a couple of key players?
Yeah.
Probably does.
Probably
right?
Does.
I mean, otherwise we wouldn't all be talking about Miami as the odds-on favorite, a team that was middle of the pack last year, second place in their own division, and now everyone looks at them as an utter catastrophe waiting to happen.
Sure, but I think they're the, like, that's the argument you can make for that team that time.
Sure.
And I like, you look at even just the last 10 years in the NFL, how often can you make the argument that teams even tried to do it like that? Like, it's not like baseball and basketball where teams, we can see it. Like, it's almost a spoken out loud plan. We have multiple teams that are at the same time tanking, tearing it down to the studs. The NFL just doesn't happen that way.
Did the Bucs try to win down the stretch when Jameis Winston was the prize?
I don't know.
I don't remember
the end of that year.
I don't believe they did. Anyway, it's an interesting conversation nonetheless. Again, overwhelmingly, at least the people voting in this poll are against the idea of any kind of a lottery system.
Oh, the lottery would be all kinds of dramatic.
Oh, it'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really would be phenomenal. So whether it's that system or not, because I think if you go with the lottery system where you say, all right, you're going to take the top seven or the bottom seven or whatever, or five or whatever number of teams, right? And you're going to say amongst them, we're going to have a lottery. And there's, unless it's not weighted, if it's not weighted, it's the same thing we're talking about here. It's just including fewer teams. If it is weighted, you're incentivizing losing, just like there's incentive to lose now if you're down the stretch. I mean, again, how many times have we talked about this in sports in general? It's tough to get out of the middle class, right? I mean, you're
sure.
It's better in a lot of cases, at least organizations feel it is, to bottom out. And as you said, strip it down, get a bunch of young talent, get rid of some burdensome contracts, get high draft picks, accumulate those kind of resources, and build it up that way rather than going 7-9, 8-8, 7-9. How often do those teams leap up and win the Super Bowl? That'd be interesting to look at, right? And what causes those teams to be able to do that? Oftentimes, it's just getting the right quarterback in. Mm-hmm. You know, Kansas City was never one of those bottom-out teams all that often, but they made that move up to get Patrick Mahomes when – obviously, in hindsight, a lot of teams ahead of the 10th pick should have taken Patrick Mahomes and not left them for the Kansas City Chiefs or any other team to trade up and grab him. It's interesting, nonetheless. Current poll results, 88% say leave the draft alone. Leave the draft alone. What if your Jaguars, though, won the lottery and got the number one pick? You might feel a little bit differently about that.
Then again,
if you got the 17th pick,
I was going to say, they've been pretty close to number one plenty of times. You know,
like
they've earned it. They've earned it,
and pretty close.
Like the odds say the Jaguars in the lottery would have been a team that should have been picking 4 or 5 a bunch of times and was picking 15. What, like, that's what the lottery would have
all
done
right,
to the Jags.
What if you had a draft lottery for GMs, right? And you could you could then select who was going to be doing the actual picking for you inside the top 10. All right, 641-1010, if you want to weigh in on any aspect of Jaguar football. How do we feel in Jaguar land about Chris Sims, right? Noted Blake Bortles, I don't even say basher necessarily, but very – hard grader of Blake Bortles. I'll tell you why I'm bringing that up when we return in a moment on the other side. Plus, NFL.com's top players to face the most pressure in 2019. Either Jaguars or Jaguar-related players on that list. And we'll get to that as well before we're done today. Again, our question of the day, you can vote on the poll at MD_1010XL. It's presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. Yay or nay to an NBA-style NFL draft lottery. Maybe NBA style is not the right way to put it, but some kind of a lottery system. And if you do vote yes, tell us how you would best implement that system. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Let me dip my toe into the cesspool that the text line has become quite often. Same guy here. Would a billion-dollar company really lie and mislead people? GD, y'all don't think. Yes, a billion-dollar company with something to gain would lie and mislead people. Tobacco industries, there are plenty of examples of it. What does a company whose sole purpose in this arena is to certify the legitimacy of results, what is their benefit in lying?
And apparently the company, if you watched the NBA draft lottery last night, said there is none because they didn't fix the freaking lottery. I don't even understand what you're arguing about out there. They didn't fix it because if they had, it would have been the Knicks or the Lakers.
Do I think billion-dollar industries can lie? Absolutely. If they have something to gain, what do they have to gain? They have everything to lose in terms of their reputation. You know, the tobacco industry had tons to lose if the truth came out about the dangers of cigarette smoking, for instance, right? In terms of people just going, wow, I probably shouldn't smoke your product, right? Yes. Probably shouldn't purchase your product. Anyway, that's beside the point here. You wonder why we keep talking about Telvin, because people keep bringing it up. 20 years ago, says this person, the reason for slighting the organization would be that he's a selfish jerk. Nowadays, it's called mental illness, and he's celebrated for choosing family over football. All right, first of all, you have no idea what the reason is, first of all. We don't know if it's mental illness or mental stresses or whatever the case may be. But do you think you should not be celebrated for choosing family over football? Take football out of this. You work at Joe's Widget Shop, and it's a choice between what's best for my family or continuing to work for Joe's Widget Shop. What would you choose? I guess you, this person, would choose continue to work for Joe's Widget Shop. Oh, wait a minute. Is it because you don't get to see him play for your favorite team, and that's what bothers you? Is it okay for other people to choose their family? I mean, you ask me. This job, which is like the greatest, I've lucked my life into the greatest profession, being on 1010XL, being on SiriusXM satellite radio for the last decade. I thank my lucky stars every day. If it was a choice between what's best for my family or staying in this profession, see ya, radio.
Right,
gone.
There with you. Yep.
I mean, it's not even a question. How is that? So why would that make me a selfish jerk if I did that? Because I'm leaving my employers high and dry? Are you kidding me? Just people think, honestly. I mean, just think what you would do in a similar situation. Not knowing what the root cause of it is, but if you thought it was better for your family that you left your present job, would you choose to stay in that job? And then if the answer is yes, then who's being the selfish jerk in this scenario?
Right.
Honestly, I mean, come on. All right, speaking of selfish jerks, it's a good way to get back around to Chris Sims over at NBC Sports. Look, let me ask you this. As Chris Sims, after ranking Blake Bortles the 69th best quarterback in the National Football League, was he validated? last year by Blake's play?
Probably not to that degree, but to the degree that he shouldn't be a starter in the league.
Shouldn't
sure.
be a starter and maybe wasn't, I mean, got benched for the likes of Cody Kessler,
yeah.
who the Jaguars have since already cut.
Yeah. I mean.
All right, six. You can argue with
still,
the number.
Whatever, yeah.
Might have been a little provocative how low he ranked him, but was he closer or was Jaguar fandom closer who backed Blake because he helped him get to the AFC title game? Turned out Chris Sims probably came out looking better mm-hmm. than you thought he was going to
sure.
on that, right? But probably a lot of people still feel like it was gratuitous, whatever the case. All right. You don't have this up, I assume, the Chris
no.
Sims thing. All right. Give me – he ranked his top 10 cornerbacks, not quarterbacks, cornerbacks, defensive backs. No, don't bring it up.
Bringing it up.
Okay.
I'm bringing up another list here.
Okay, bring up a list, whatever list you need. I want you to just throw me some names – of who you think are some of the best corners in the league, and let's see where he has them ranked in his top 10, and we'll see how we feel about Chris Sims on this particular Wednesday morning. So
I'll go Jalen Ramsey.
Number one cornerback in the National Football League. Remember the guy who texted us yesterday and said, well, he's far from the best at his position. Wow, this
just crazy.
Here's one ranking that has him as the absolute best. All right, so Jalen, number one.
Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson's got a number eight. On his list. Interesting, right? A lot of talk that Arizona may still trade him. I think that's probably a good move, but I don't think they're like going to be competitive to the point of making the playoffs this year. And if you can get a significant haul in draft pick compensation, future mm-hmm. draft pick compensation for a guy who by the time you are at that level of competitive may have seen his best football in the rearview mirror. All right, so Patrick Peterson, you got two of the 10 right off the bat.
Let's go Chris Harris.
Chris Harris is number 10 on this list, but he is inside the top 10. Who else you got?
Byron Jones.
Byron Jones is number 6 on the list. Very nice pull there for the Dallas Cowboys.
Let's see.
You're doing very well in the back half of the top 10 right
Kyle
now.
Fuller.
Kyle Fuller is number 7. What list are you looking at over there, by the way?
I'm looking at a list of teams.
Okay, list of teams. All yeah. right, good. Kyle Fuller. So you've gotten Byron Jones, Kyle Fuller, Patrick Peterson, and Chris Harris. Those are 6, 7, 8, and 10. And, of course, Jalen, number one overall.
Xavier Rhodes.
Xavier Rhodes didn't make his top 10, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Right. So one strike for Fat Tony on the cornerback list. Top 10.
Casey Hayward.
According to Chris Sims. No Casey Hayward on the top 10 for him. That's two strikes.
Yeah.
You get one more.
No.
I'm giving you Tony thinks about cornerbacks
yeah.
music because we don't do like the drill. Oh, we do apparently.
Apparently
here it comes.
We do.
I like mine better.
Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore is number 2
okay.
on this list. You have 6 out of 10.
Kareem Jackson.
Do you want to push it? Kareem Jackson actually played safety last year,
oh, they
I believe.
Had him at safety.
I think he's going to switch back. I think he's in Denver now. I think he is going to switch back. So I'll give you a pass on Kareem Jackson.
Okay.
On that one. Back to the music. Two strikes.
Xavien Howard?
Xavien Howard is number 3 overall among cornerbacks in the National Football League, as befitting his new fat contract with the Miami Dolphins. That is the stud. When you say strip it down to the studs, that's one of the studs.
He's stud.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, they talk about a house having good bones. That's what Miami is counting on Xavien Howard being, some good bone structure for the future of the team.
Big play Slay.
Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Mm-hmm. Fat Tony took down Jalen Ramsey at 1. Stephon Gilmore at 2. Xavien Howard at 3. Byron Jones at 6. Kyle Fuller at 7. Patrick Peterson at 8. And Chris Harris at 10. Marshawn Lattimore,
okay.
Who had a phenomenal rookie year, not as much, you know, didn't live up to that level
no,
in his
yeah.
second season, came in at number 9 on the list. So I'm working my way back. William Jackson of the
yep.
Cincinnati Bengals. And then how dare you not mention A.J.
Oh,
Boye.
Still got A.J. in there.
He's got him at number 4. So Chris Sims.
A.J. Boye.
That's right. Noted Jaguar hater. I kid. Has the Jaguars starting cornerback pair ranked both in the top 4 corners in the National Football League. So basically, outside of New England and Miami, according to these rankings, any team in the National Football League would covet A.J. Boye as the top cornerback they could possibly have. Now, that doesn't mean all these teams feel the same way
sure.
about their guys, but that was pretty good stuff right there. You know, and D.J. Hayden, I thought, played well when healthy last year. Again, the whole when healthy thing is, looms over, I guess, every team in the National Football League, but that gives you hope still, right? You still, look, if Telvin Smith had never existed, right? Or if he had torn his ACL and you know, there wasn't this swirl of mystery and somewhat bitterness among some as to why he's not playing. Not all, by the way. A lot of people have been very supportive. Whatever. If you just said, let's build a team, right? Expansion team, mm-hmm. Tony, is going to have the front four that the Jags can throw out there with the depth that they can have. Unique Ngakoue and Calais Campbell. Okay. Marcell Dareus and Avery Jones, all right? And coming off the bench in some combination, potentially off the bench, you got Josh Allen, who's a top seven pick in the NFL draft with 17 sacks, SEC Defensive Player of the Year. You got Taven Bryan, who, yes, albeit somewhat of a mystery, what he can be, maybe can add something to the mix. I tell you, you've got the best cornerback duo by far in the National Football League, and perhaps the best trio as well. You've got a young middle linebacker going into his fourth year with the athletic gifts that Miles Jack possesses, mm-hmm. and now the comfort level that he expressed that he has now with playing the position. Would you be all that worried about who the other two linebackers were on this football team? I don't know if you would.
No,
now,
yeah.
Granted, you got a couple of young safeties as well, right? You don't know exactly what level, but you have a guy with a lot of potential, you feel, in Ronnie Harrison, and you'd have to know your football in regards to Jared Wilson and have watched him to
right.
have an idea.
I think it's hard to see what's happened the last couple of years here in Jacksonville, right? Like, just 17 versus 18, and look, Telvin had a down year last year. And the team had a down year last year. Like, I think the impact plays that Telvin Smith made in 2017 were difference makers.
No doubt.
For this football team. And if you could get that back, then, yeah, I think you have all that other stuff in place and you're, like, difference
making.
But
if you didn't know any of that, if you didn't know, like, if that was just never happened or was out of your mind and you had all these guys together, would you say that team's got a great chance to be a top five defense in the National Football League, just with what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
And so my point is, maybe we shouldn't get too hung up on what they're not going to have and focus right now, because they have a lot more, I think, than most still have. At least that's the optimistic point of view.
Sure.
As far as that goes. Look, you know, doesn't mean they're not going to face other injury issues or poor play or guys having down years or whatever the case may be. But every team has the chance to face those issues.
Well, and look, last year, with the defense taking a step back, they were fourth in the league. I mean, they were a top five defense last year.
Right.
It was that it wasn't scoring the way it did.
It would have been
before.
More noticeable how good the defense was if the right. offense had been passable.
With that offense that could barely get a first down for 2 months, they gave up less than 20 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. On the field constantly, the whole nine. Shut out the Colts, who were
yeah.
red hot. You know, and
they were great. They weren't as consistent as they were in 2017.
No, and they didn't make as many splash
right,
plays.
Where they just smothered people.
Yeah.
Just absolutely dominated people. They didn't do that as much last year.
Still got oodles and oodles compared to most teams in the National Football League. Love to have every piece possible. You know,
yep.
I'm greedy. I want it all, right? Yep. I want an all pro at every position. But
second against the pass last year.
Fortunately, not realistic. Second against the pass, right?
Second.
Right. And that's with a safety ended up cutting. Now, Tashaun Gibson's a loss, in my opinion, right? I mean, they're definitely a loss, but can they overcome it? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe a little souped-up pass rush with the addition of Josh Allen and maybe Unique Ngakoue returning to double-digit sack form, which he was just a smidge off from last year, will be enough to induce a few more of those hastily thrown balls and some coming back the other way. All right, coming up next, we've got This State in Football and the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. Which players does NFL.com think are under the most pressure to perform in 2019. We'll get to that as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, got some very significant birthdays on this date in football history. I did see, by the way, a post this morning on Pro Football Talk said the Canadian Football League season will begin as scheduled because they have avoided a player strike, which I suppose is appropriate because it was on this date in 1965 that the CFL Players Association was organized. So good for them for marching on. Will we have uninterrupted NFL football, or will we miss any games in the next labor deal?
I don't think we're going to miss any games.
I would bet on that right now, although the players feel like they really got slaughtered in the last one, and they say they're putting away a more of a war chest this time around, but a lot of rank and file that can't afford to miss a year or however long in their careers. All right, birthdays for this date, a slew of significant ones, starting with the 50th birthday of one Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher in National Football League history. Of course, a former Florida Gator, played primarily with the Dallas Cowboys, a little bit at the end with Arizona. I think he had a 1,000-yard season for the Cardinals.
I believe he did, yeah.
In his 30s. Three-time NFL rushing leader. He was the 17th overall pick by the boys in 1990, an eight-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, 18,355 yards on the ground, 164 rushing touchdowns, his number one all-time, 175 total touchdowns, second only to Jerry Rice, a one-time MVP and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2010. We're just getting started here. Born in this date 1 year later, happy 49th to Desmond Howard. The 1991 Heisman Trophy winner was the fourth overall pick in 1992 by Washington. Signed with the Jaguars during their inaugural season of 1995 and scored on a 66-yard punt return in the Hall of Fame game in the first quarter, which is the first preseason touchdown in Jacksonville Jaguar history, so the first touchdown of any kind there. 26 receptions that year for 276 yards and a touchdown. 24 punt returns, never took one to the house during the regular season. 24 punt returns, averaged just over 10 yards a return. Also averaged a little over, or almost 18 yards, I should say, on 10 kickoff returns. He was the MVP of Super Bowl 31 the very next year with the Green Bay Packers. So happy 49th to Desmond Howard. Rod Smith, formerly of the Denver Broncos, born on this date as well in 1970, also 49 years old. We'll circle back to Rod Smith. I like to look at his numbers in comparison to Jimmy Smith's oftentimes when the conversation for Jimmy Smith for the Hall of Fame comes up. So we'll get to that after the roll around the National Football League. Born in the state in 1975, Ray Lewis is 44 years old today. He was a 26th pick in 1996 by the Baltimore Ravens, a 12-time Pro Bowler, seven-time first-team All-Pro, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, two-time Super Bowl champ, some would say two-time something else as well. Wears the white suit, Ray, Hall of Fame inductee in 2018. And happy 43rd, and I bet it is a happy 43rd, for the second overall pick in the 1998 NFL Draft. Ryan Leaf absolutely bottomed out, right? Was miserable, couldn't control his emotions, a player in the National Football League. Became a thief, a criminal,
addict,
right? All that behavior stemmed from his addiction to painkillers. Went to prison, bottomed out, got help, and now he's one of our favorite guys to see every year on Radio Row at the Super Bowl because he really has seemingly turned his life around, and he's all about helping other people. You can reach out to him right there on Twitter and he'd say, look, I'm going through some stuff, and he'll do what he can to help you out. He's become a motivational speaker and a lot of other things and seems to be doing very well for himself right now. We'll get back to Rod Smith, but for now, that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Went and took a look, and Emmitt Smith, his last season in Arizona, 937 yards.
Just short
of that 1,000-yard plateau in his final year in the league. Free agent defensive end Deion Jordan is facing a 10-game suspension for taking Adderall. Jordan told NFL.com that he had an exemption to use the drug, but that his therapeutic use exemption had expired which he says is obviously his fault.
And he didn't have an exemption.
Yeah, he was the third overall pick in the 2013 draft, but started only one game in two seasons in Miami before being suspended for all the 2015 season, eventually released by the Dolphins. He has spent the last 2 years with Seattle, playing in 17 games, getting 5.5 sacks. Jordan's agent has said that 8 to 10 teams have reached out about signing his client, that they are all aware of the suspension. Washington quarterback Colt McCoy is back with the team as the recovery from his fractured fibula continues. He is expected to be ready for a full go for camp with the team in July. Alex Smith expected to be out for at least the 2019 season. Still major questions about whether he'll ever play football again. Washington drafted Dwayne Haskins in the first round of the draft last month, so he is expected to compete for the starting job with Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. And Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle Tyrone Crawford has been charged with a misdemeanor count of unlawful assembly stemming from a January incident at a bar in Panama City Beach, Florida. Per an affidavit, Crawford allegedly threw a punch at the bar and instigated a fight.
All right, there you have it, Tony, with the roll and reach roll around the National Football League. Rod Smith, Tony Boselli, we assume, will one day get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Maybe we shouldn't assume, but I'm going to continue to believe that that is the case. Then does the Hall of Fame, in terms of the Jaguars, turn their attention to Fred Taylor, who's already been a semifinalist once, or does it start to consider Jimmy Smith? You know, as more time passes, his off-the-field issues fade, perhaps, in the memory banks. You remember Jimmy Smith as a dynamic player. There's no question about it. You look at his numbers, and you compare them to Rod Smith. Have you ever heard anybody truly suggest, other than a Bronco diehard, that Rod Smith is Hall of Fame worthy?
Not really.
I've never really heard that either, right? And it's always struck me how similar their career numbers are. Now, people can say, the eyeball test, Jimmy's a better player. I don't disagree with you. But numbers tell a big part of the story, and Rod Smith has some of them in his favor, even in this comparison. Jimmy Smith had 862 receptions in his career. Rod Smith had 849, basically indistinguishable. Jimmy did it on about 50 more targets, right? So basically dead even. Rod Smith had 11,389 receiving yards. Jimmy Smith had nearly 1,000 more, 12,287. So Jimmy averaged 14.3 a catch, whereas Rod Smith averaged 13.4 a catch. Definitely in Jimmy's category, but not overwhelmingly so. Jimmy Smith, receiving touchdowns in his career, he scored 67. Rod Smith scored 68. That's a push, as pushy as it gets right there. Jimmy Smith, 5 Pro Bowl appearances. Rod Smith, only 3. Okay, that's definitely a feather in Jimmy's cap. Jimmy Smith, 2 100-plus reception seasons. Rod Smith, 2 100-plus reception seasons. You know what else Rod Smith has 2 of? Super Bowl rings. Mm-hmm. And he starred in one of them. Right? I mean, who was it? Who's the Atlanta safety that got popped?
Eugene Robinson.
Eugene Robinson, yeah. Right? That I believe was in coverage on that 80-yard touchdown that Rod Smith burned him on when the Denver Broncos would go on to win one of those 2 Super Bowls back in the late 90s. And don't think that, you know, forget whether he started them or not, and he did certainly in one of them. He has 2 Super Bowl rings. He was a starter on 2 Super Bowl teams. To me, when you're weighing these guys, is that enough to make up the gap for a couple less Pro Bowl appearances? I certainly think it is. You know, I think it is in the voters' minds. Now, again, if you're just talking about eyeball test, who is the better player? Who would you rather want? I'd rather have Jimmy Smith. There's no question about it. I've watched both of these guys. But it's hard to argue the numbers. They're not very dissimilar, you know, and nobody talks about Rod Smith in those terms, and he has that card of 2 Super Bowl rings to play in this conversation. If you think Jimmy's going to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day, I think it's going to be a long, long wait if he ever makes it there. Not saying when you look back, Jimmy arguably at points in his heyday, you could say might have been the best receiver in the National Football League or among the top 2 or 3. I never really felt that way about Rod Smith.
Right.
But it's hard to deny the overall results that he played with. And he didn't play with Elway throughout the entirety of his career. He did at the very beginning, and then he played with the Brian Greasys and a whole bunch of other guys along those lines. So always, whenever Rod Smith gets brought up, I always think of Jimmy. To me, they're just kind of intertwined. as far as that goes. And being that it's Rod Smith's birthday, it made me think of him. All right, we'll come back. Adam Schein at NFL.com wrote a piece about the players most under pressure in 2019. Any Jags on the list, we'll tell you. Any Jag-related players on the list, we'll tell you about that as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along here. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, midweek down at TIAA Bank Field, recapping what we talked about at the very top of the program here at Calais Campbell's charity bowling event last night. John Reed of the Florida Times Union got some quotes from Calais and Miles Jack, both indicating they had been in touch with Telvin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Still no indication that he's talked with anybody in management or on the coaching staff of the football team, but he has talked to some of his teammates, and obviously, as you would expect, they're backing him, giving them his giving him their support.
Yep.
And you know, hopefully you can get things straightened out. And then also Miles Jack just absolutely flat out stating, "I'm playing Mike Backer, no question about it." You know, obviously there's no secret we're going to have to find a weak side linebacker. As for me, I'm playing Mike Backer until my time in Jacksonville is up. I've moved around to this defense, and at this point I feel comfortable playing Mike, and it fits me. I definitely can understand the perspective of seeing where I would thrive at will, as we've talked about quite a bit. But that means we would have to find somebody else to run the defense and play Mike. That would be hard to bring in a first-year guy to try and get everybody lined up. And as you pointed out, Tony, he said, "This is my opinion."
Yep.
Not what the coaching staff has said, but make some strong points. You know, I mean, while we think he could thrive as a will linebacker, it's not like they drafted Devin White with the 7th overall pick, and you know, or Devin Bush for that matter, and thought we're just gonna, this guy's a natural middle linebacker, we're gonna plug him in and move Miles because this is gonna be the best for everybody, and that was kind of the plan and that whole thing, and which would still require an adjustment regardless, but if Miles has anything to say about it, Miles Jack will be in the middle of that linebacker.
It would appear so,
which would give Quincy Williams a better chance to a higher percentage chance, more lottery balls bouncing or ping pong balls bouncing around, that he's going to end up the weak side linebacker.
I mean, we got OTAs coming up here in the next couple of weeks, so we'll be talking about the guys that we're most interested to see out there. Quincy may be top of the list, to be honest.
They're not going to be hitting, though, man. That's the thing. We want to see him de-cleat some people.
I mean, when we get into training camp and the pads come on and then into preseason, obviously he'll
preseason, it's going to be all eyes, I think, on Quincy.
On Quincy.
And Josh Allen.
And, you know, Chark needs to step up.
There are a bunch of guys.
But there's a bunch of guys. Quincy may be the first name that comes to mind for me.
Seeking missile. Let's hope it translates from Murray State. We don't know. Our question of the day, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. Overwhelmingly, people are saying, "Hey, Dempsey, leave my draft alone." 88% say, "Leave the draft alone." 12% say, "Yes, give me a lottery." We'll look a little bit later at some of the replies as to how they would constitute their system if they went that route.
The drastic change. Look, we saw the LA Rams in the Super Bowl last year with Jared Goff playing quarterback. It's Carson Wentz in Philadelphia into the Super Bowl. We had Baker Mayfield. Like, what are the Cleveland Browns without the current system? Like, this hot team in the league right now, where are they? If there was a draft lottery, because it's not only Baker with them, it's Myles Garrett on top of that too. The Chicago Bears just got Trubisky. I mean, quarterbacks are where it's at, and there's a lot of teams that would have more bites at the apple at quarterback if you had a lottery than you currently
Trubisky
do.
Trubisky came out, though, the same year as Mahomes and Watson, right?
I believe so.
Right? They all just went through their second year in the league?
Yep.
So maybe Chicago would be a lot better off because they'd have Patrick Mahomes. You don't know, right? I mean, it's
maybe.
Not, you know,
but
you
they had a shot at Mahomes.
You could certainly, right, well,
they chose
but
Trubisky.
Maybe they wouldn't have had that choice, is what
sure,
I'm
but
saying.
I think it's more of the fortunes of the LA Rams, Philadelphia Eagles, and Chicago Bears changed.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Right? And I don't like the idea. It's going to be hard to convince me of the idea of a team that goes 9-7, 10-6, and misses the playoffs has a chance to get a top five pick. I don't like it.
5%.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Look, nobody seems to. Not that we ever thought this was going to happen.
Never going to happen.
But it's a to me, a fun conversation to have.
Now, if you
in
could
the middle
come up,
of May.
Yeah, if you could come up with an idea, there may be an intriguing idea of how to do it that I would at least consider it, but 1 out of 20 is not enough for me.
All right, to the NFL.com article that we've mentioned several times this morning, Adam Schein posted this, I guess yesterday afternoon, actually, and he's got 9 guys that he listed that are the NFL players under the most pressure in 2019, and there are some Jaguar connections on here. Interestingly, you just mentioned one of them, Carson Wentz. He says, I love Wentz. I'd pay him. I want him to be my franchise quarterback, and the Eagles obviously agree, having allowed Nick Foles to fly the coop. But for the second straight off season, he's working his way back from season-ending injury, and given the kind of magic that Foles displayed after each of his premature departures, Wentz is under huge pressure to deliver like his backup amazingly did in the big spots. No question about it.
No doubt.
Right? Look, like you said, you invested the number 2 pick. Don't forget, 2 seasons ago, he was playing at an MVP level in his second year in the league.
Yeah, the last 2 years when he has played in 24 games, 54-14.
Touchdown-interception
ratio. That would be his touchdown-to-interception ratio for Carson Wentz. He's completing basically 67% of his passes over those 2 years, too. I mean, he's an MVP-level quarterback when he's
last
played.
Last year, now granted, he was coming off the injury.
Sure.
Right? He was not winning games at the rate that Foles did when Foles came in.
No, they were 5-6 with the
Right. So they came in, and Foles came in and basically saved the season for him and gave him a chance at least to repeat as Super Bowl chance. He has him 6th on the list. I'll give you some other guys that are loosely connected to the Jags. Marcus Mariota in the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee says Schein really a solid team. They're building a well-rounded roster, establishing the kind of culture that breeds success. One question remains, and it's kind of a big one. Do they have a franchise quarterback? Well, the stats would indicate not so much. The one loss record, they're competitive. They go to the playoffs or on the edge of playoff contention would indicate maybe so. They've given him – look, you get Delanie Walker back. They drafted A.J. Brown. They're trying to put weapons around him to give him the best chance to succeed. But it is potentially a make-or-break year in Tennessee. Wouldn't you love the Jaguars to help – make it a break year as opposed to a
sure.
make year.
I was going through the list because of the question we were asking today, looking at the teams that in the last 5 years have had a winning record and didn't make the playoffs. Just in the last 5 years, Tennessee has done that twice.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to go to a lottery.
Yeah, they yeah, 2
that,
years
that
ago.
Alone.
2 years ago they made the playoffs, but last year they were 9-7, the year before that they were 9-7. Like, they have been right on the edge of this thing for a while now, and their quarterback, who knows which way Mariota's going to go. It's up in the air.
Here is the most Jaguar-related player on that list. You want to care to guess who that might be?
Fournette.
Leonard Fournette. He's number 2 overall. Lingering hamstring attitude issues totally derailed his second NFL season. It was quite alarming. The punch he threw during a scuffle with the Bills was a perfect snapshot of him not getting it and costing his team in that specific drive, which ended with a missed field goal, despite Jacksonville being at the 1-yard line when Fournette was ejected.
Oh, that's
remember that? I mean,
oh my God.
Right there at the 1, where they're about to come back and, I mean, really take the lead and you think all the momentum's on their side. You don't know if they're going to win the game or not. But Fournette's going to punch that thing in, and no pun intended, and who knows.
Holding sack? I thought maybe it was a loss, then a holding, and then a sack.
Yeah, it was not good. It's just a Keystone Cops routine. Not to mention that the running back suspended the next week and only ended up logging 8 games on the season, closing out a disastrous Jags campaign with some disappointing sideline behavior. Again, these are the words of Adam Schein at NFL.com. Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone preach discipline. They're also smart enough to not aggressively toss away talent, and Fournette has plenty. Now he has help on offense with a real quarterback in Nick Foles, but it was Fournette who was taken with the 4th overall pick in 2017 over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Time for him to grow up, lead, dominate, and most importantly, just be available. I can't find fault with really much of any of that.
Nope.
In there. The rest of the list, number 1 on the list, Antonio Brown. As you said, the way he described it, forced the trade, looking like a buffoon in the process.
Call me Mr.
David
Big
Lamb
Chest.
Write this.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
And dye my mustache blonde. And he says, I'm not even talking about the blonde mustache. But they're going to force him the ball. I don't doubt that.
No.
Did Pittsburgh not force him the ball?
Sure.
I mean, who are you going to take? You going to take Roethlisberger or you going to take Derek Carr? To, if you're a wide receiver in a one-off situation.
Give me Ben.
All right. He has averaged over 6 years, 114 catches, average 1,524 yards and 11 touchdowns. Holy smokes. Average 1,500 yards.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
He's ridiculous is what he is. Ridiculous talent, ridiculous antics. How will it pay off?
Well, that's the whole deal.
That's why there's pressure. Number three, Fournette was number two. Number three is Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets, right? Sat out the whole year, got the contract. Well, is the grass greener? You're going to take the Jets O-line or Pittsburgh's O-line? You're going to take Roethlisberger or Sam Darnold to keep defenses honest? He can go the same litany of things. He's going to get every opportunity to touch the ball, just like he did in Pittsburgh when he was there. So there's some pressure there. Kirk Cousins is number four on the list, coming off his first year on a three-year, $84 million contract. Minnesota went from 13-3 to 6-7-1 in his first season. Go 7-9 this year and see what's going on with the Viking fan base. But guess what? That third year, fully guaranteed also. So he's there. But whether or not the Vikings are going to count on him beyond 2020 is up in the air right now. I mentioned Mariota. He came in at 5. Wentz came in at 6. These are, according to Adam Schein, the 9 players under the most pressure in 2019. Landon Collins is one. Six-year, $84 million contract to play strong safety in a pass-happy league. You know, he's more of a box safety, although he is a playmaker. The guy makes plays. But is he worth 6 years, $84 million? The Giants didn't think so. Of course, people have questioned a lot of the moves the Giants have made this offseason. Todd Gurley coming in at number 8 on the list. The pressure to stay healthy is the only pressure with Gurley.
Sure. What's going on with the knee?
Right. I don't know if that's – to me, that's pressure. That's just is there anything he can – I'm assuming he rehabs as hard as the doctors tell him to.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, I have no doubt that if Todd Gurley's healthy, he's going to perform like Todd Gurley. He's phenomenal. He's still in his prime. But when you see C.J. Anderson come in and do basically what he did – down the stretch and didn't miss Gurley a ton. Now, in the Super Bowl, I'd argue that they did. And then you had, you know, McVay out there saying that, oh, we just didn't give him the ball enough. Yeah, really? He's 100% we just didn't give him the ball enough. Made no sense, obviously.
None.
The knee issue, whether it's arthritis or something else going on bothering him. They draft Darrell Henderson out of Memphis. They bring back Malcolm Brown. They match a tender offer that the – interesting they chose him, right, as opposed to C.J. Anderson. But
sure,
he, I believe, just turned 26 today as well, so maybe a little closer to the prime of his career as a backup than you expect from C.J. Anderson. And then finally, Solomon Thomas with the 49ers, the third overall pick in 2017, has had 4 sacks in his first 2 years in the National Football League. So – Pick it up, young man. He's expecting a lot from the 49ers. I don't know. For some reason, I'm ambivalent about Jimmy Garoppolo and his long-term success. I mean, I think he's fine. I don't know. Some people think he's like the next coming, you know, next best thing to sliced bread or whatever. I'm not sure about him. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just have just a kind of a skepticism.
Well,
about Garoppolo.
Well, you got the skepticism on top of the Rams were just in the Super Bowl and Seattle.
Seattle's still a playoff caliber team.
Right. I mean, it's a bit of a mountain to climb.
And he's coming off major injury.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll come back. We'll take a look at some of the final pummeling poll results. People say, hands off my NFL draft. Don't you dare suggest a lottery. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, one segment to go. It's Jaguars Today live at the bank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Some very creative, if not exactly on-topic, responses to our question of the day, our poll question, as at least that's what we turned it into, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. Appreciate those guys coming on as one of the newest sponsors here at 1010XL. 88% of the nearly 450 votes say leave the draft as it is. The other 12% say, yes, give me a lottery of some kind. So we asked people today, if you vote yes, reply with your suggestion of how you would set it up. You know, would it be weighted? How many teams would be in it? Would it be for the top three, the top five, whatever, you know? So we got some replies that were on point and got some others that were just off beat, let's say.
Sure.
All right, so I'll throw them at you. And knowing that the NFL, as buttoned up as they like to be, is never going to incorporate any of this stuff, right?
No.
But they're fun to think about, I think. This is from Crash. Thought on the draft. Why not allow a team to release a player into the draft, not into trade or free agency? Then, whatever round that player is drafted, that team will get a pick in that round. The following draft, you limit it to one per season. You would. I wonder, like, just to follow
so it's
this
like
hypothetical.
A tweak on, like, keeper rules in
like
fantasy league.
You released Tashaun Gibson.
Yeah.
Maybe you release him into the draft pool. And then, you know, his contract then, that obviously there's some issues, major issues with this, right? Is he going to get a third-round rookie salary? Of course he's not,
no,
right?
You're but picking up the contract, I would assume.
Maybe you'd pick up the contract,
yeah.
Right, of whatever he was released under. If you wanted to draft that, would it be limited to just one player that you're specifically throwing into that pool, or any player that you released could be viable?
So you're limiting NFL free agency to add to the draft?
Sort of. Yeah. You know, and if your player then gets picked up, you get some more compensation for that guy, because we're giving up a good player. We just, because your stupid salary cap is not allowing us to keep him.
Well,
but clearly somebody thinks he's worth a second rounder.
They're already kind of doing that with compensatory stuff. Obviously, that's not a player you're releasing.
Right.
That's a player that you're not re-signing.
Correct. But you're letting go. I don't know. Look, it's never going to happen.
No, that's a wild idea.
Thought it was
though.
Interesting. Doom says yes. Make the non-playoff teams play each other for the top picks. Worst record versus second worst for pick one. Third versus fourth for the second. But wait a minute. What would happen to the loser of that first game?
I don't know.
People have brought this up a good
they
bit.
They really
though.
Have, yeah.
Here's the issue. Well, among the issues.
Yeah,
okay?
There are guys not showing up for workouts.
Let's say under contract you had to show up for this, okay? You're playing. If you say whoever wins this game, you're playing, like if you're the quarterback, you're playing to try to beat this team so this guy can come take your job.
Right. Yeah.
So win this game, play well, and you're losing your job. It's going to be a scoreless tie. I mean, until the end of, I'm sure someone along the way who's got job security would be like, hell, I'm taking this one to the house. But that's not the only person who has suggested that.
You know, a toilet bowl, something like that.
Something like that, right? But I've never understood that, okay, we've got the two worst teams. Now, whichever one beats the other one earns the pick as being the worst. Well, shouldn't it, by logic, if you're going to go down that logic tree, the team that lost that game, but then, you know, what's the incentive to try? And that's why you run into all these problems with these kind of scenarios.
Can we
right?
just have, like, each team nominate three players and do, like, a superstars event? And whichever team won the superstars gets the pick.
Can we just bring back the superstars? Do they still do that in any form out there?
I don't know.
The money's too big.
Yeah,
nowadays.
The contracts are too massive, I would think.
I mean, man, we just used to have, you know, all these guys from all these different sports competing in the offseason in some Caribbean island or something.
Yeah.
You know, running relay races and doing all kinds of other fun things. What else here? All right, this one from Jeremy. Again, not going to happen, but kind of fun to think about, at least to me. He goes, I mostly think no. But it would be cool to see something like this. Picks 33 to 35 go to the teams that have A. Pick 33 goes to the team with the man of the year, NFL man of the year. So you're rewarding, you know, community excellence. But then it gets into who's voting on man of the year.
Yeah, how's that get picked?
Right. Do you throw all the team's Man of the Year candidates into a hat? Then you're just basically randomly drawing. Anyway, but I kind of like that idea that you're rewarding, you know,
public service,
team excellence, something like that. Maybe the team that raised the most, I don't know, you know, just to follow that theme.
That
all
would
right.
be, yeah.
Number pick 34.
You could crowdsource a draft pick. Essentially, that would be
right.
what you're doing. Like the
small market team would be
the team
be
with the most charitable donations during a year. Oh, that would be fascinating.
It would be
to watch
right?
fan bases
but again,
deal with that.
Smaller fan base, you're going to lose every time, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just so it's great that people would benefit a lot from the charity, but you as a Jaguar fan would not win that, right? So, selection 34 would go to a randomly selected non-playoff team. Like bonus, you've got the 34th pick in the draft, you non-playoff team, and then pick 35 would go to a randomly selected playoff team. So no team sucks for the extra pick because you could get the extra pick. And so basically, we're going to give away two extra picks for no other reason than we drew your name out of the hat. And it would be kind of fun if you earned it. It would suck if your division rival earned
it. So potentially then a team could have 1, 33, 34, and 36.
Yes, because you would have the worst record, you would have the man of the year, and you'd be the randomly selected non-playoff team.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And the first pick in the second round.
Right, and the first pick of the second round, which would technically now be 36. So, again, not going to happen. Deadman says, I think the draft lottery helps keep bad teams bad longer. The teams that tank really seem to be bad for decades trying to get the guy or stars. Here's ultimately why there's a big difference between the NBA and the NFL. One guy in the NBA changes everything.
Everything.
Now, if you get the right quarterback, you can change that, but still not to the degree that LeBron James going to the Cleveland Cavaliers changed that franchise.
Sure.
Because at the very least, one guy in the NFL is 1/11th of the offense. Now, understanding that not every position is as important as the other, but 1/11th of the offense or defense. So you're 1/22nd of the starters on your offense and defense. One guy in the NBA is 20% of your offense and 20% of your defense. It's if you get that transformational player, that's why so many people watched last night, because they think Zion Williamson might be that.
Sure.
That guy in the NBA can't – if you tank – if you hit the lottery, whatever you want to say, in the right year, it can absolutely take you from nothing to something overnight.
Absolutely.
Now, if you get stuck picking 5th and 7th and you pick the wrong guys and blah, blah, blah. But when there are those exceptional years, when Tim Duncan comes out, when Patrick Ewing comes out, Knicks didn't win a title, but it took him from mediocrity to relevance as the centerpiece of their franchise for a long, long time. It does absolutely matter. Let's see. We don't need a lottery to go draft. Here we go. This is from last rep. We don't need a lottery to go draft guys that are not invited to the combine or the Senior Bowl in the third round. So there's that. That's a.
Does he get tired of that take? I've seen him sitting there quite a bit.
Oh, has he had that take? Yeah. He doesn't like the Quincy Williams pick.
Apparently,
I take
this guy does not like the Quincy Williams pick.
Well, you know, we'll
I think
find
it's
out.
Keeping him up at night.
You know, somebody said early on the text line, he goes, you guys just want it both ways with the Chris Sims thing. Look, we ripped Chris Sims for ranking Blake 69th last year. My point is, we were probably wrong about it, right? So when we point to Jalen Ramsey being number one on Chris Sims' list, we're saying maybe we should have given Chris Sims a little bit more respect. But he goes, you guys want it both ways. You're going to rip him for this. You're going to praise him for this. If it matters. It's a conversation about.
If he was right, he was right.
Right. I mean, he was a lot more right about Blake than he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether he was where he ranked him was too low, whether it was being gratuitous. And I think there was some of that in there that he wanted to rank him outside even the top set of backups. You know?
Sure, he had him as a mid-level third-string quarterback, basically.
But for a team that had nothing going on offense, he wasn't good enough to keep his job.
No, certainly not that. We have breaking NFL news.
Break it!
The New York Jets have fired their general manager, Mike Maccagnan, and VP of player personnel, Brian Heimerdinger. Adam Gase has been named the interim general manager.
Oh, has he?
New York Jets.
So now he's got the GM and the head coaching job.
Yes.
Because he did such a good job leading Miami to a 7-9 record last year.
Yes.
To the point where they're ready to strip it all down, as we said, to the studs,
yeah,
to the bones.
Adam Gase, the interim GM.
The thing I think that's funny, because, you know, people hate unnamed sources. Right? Oh, unnamed sources, you're lying. You're making it up. Well, the unnamed sources were saying that Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan could not coexist in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets responded by saying, that's hogwash. That's crazy. What are you talking about? Everything's fine. We fired Mike Maccagnan. So, you know, you tell me. Sometimes unnamed sources get it wrong. It doesn't mean they didn't exist, however, And in this case, I think those unnamed sources were right on the money.
Yeah, it's an odd situation. You go and pick the new head coach, and Adam Gase, apparently the two of them don't get along. They go sign the mega deal with Le'Veon Bell and sign C.J. Mosley to a $17 million a year contract when the market for middle linebacker had been set around 12 or 13.
Yeah, why not?
And then you get fired.
That's the problem you run into when you got $100 million in cap space, right? And you have no self-control.
Right. Like, you really want C.J. Mosley, and it's like, well, you know, we got a couple teams that on the 17.
We could have paid him $30 million, and we still have cap space left. Then there's a team like the Colts who had $100 million and had some self control to the point where they still, I believe, had the most cap space left.
Yeah.
In the National Football League, because they realized, hey, you know what? Well, we don't use this year. We just roll it into next year.
As long as you're spending to the cash limit,
which is a great system for clubs right now in the National Football League. Here, how about this one? I'd have Pac-Man Jones and Vontaze Burfict alternate a game of whack-a-mole with the moles wearing the helmets of the lottery teams.
Why?
I don't know, but it'd be spectacle.
Why those two?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
So So the idea is they're randomly underneath, so they don't know what's coming up. And if they hit that one when it comes up, like, can they see the team names?
I guess. They see the helmets.
Right.
But you're just whacking the moles.
So can they choose, like, not to – like, can Vontaze Burfict say, no, I'm not hitting the Bengals?
Look, and as far as things that are never going to happen, that's as entertaining as any other, right? So there you have it. All right, let's check in with XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings have you covered from head to toe and especially stomach. Order your office event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
Joe Coward on the horn. Hello, Joe Coward. How are you?
Mike, what's up, buddy?
You're out at Southampton today, right? A little 9 after 5 going on today?
Well, we got a nice golf tournament today for the,
Love.
Yeah, the Olivia Love Golf Classic, and it's just a young girl, 17 years of age, going to high school right here, and had a really just a horrible accident, but coming back strong. As a matter of fact, her family is here today. She's here today. They're moving her out of one treatment facility up in Atlanta, hopefully back to the Sunshine State. So we're just having a nice golf tournament today, trying to raise some money to help as much as we can. 130 players, Mike. So it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And best wishes for her and her family on the continued road to recovery. Joe, I listened yesterday. I didn't remember where you stood on this. I didn't get the sense that you were all in on the draft lottery being fixed. It seemed like the other three quarters of your starting lineup there were all on board. So I'd like, could you today do me a favor and ask them to explain how the NBA wanted to fix it for the two smallest television markets to get the two top picks in the draft?
Yeah, it's funny because, look, I love buying into conspiracy theory. I'll jump all in on some of those things. And we go back and we talk about the infamous frozen envelope with Pat Ewing. But, yeah, if you're going to go to New Orleans with the number one pick, there's no way you can point ever again to a conspiracy. Now, there still may be a deal that's done. That's between two teams. Who the heck knows how that'll go down. But at the same time, the way that Adam Silver has done this is he's created at least a little more spread to eliminate the possibility of tanking. And I like that because you're basically saying, hey, you can't just suck for the last month of the regular season and think you're going to go to the top of the draw and get a pick.
Couldn't have changed that next year, though. Thanks a lot as a Knicks fan here. And in a draft where a lot of people say it was really a clear two-player draft with Ja Morant, clearly they wanted to bump up the Memphis Grizzlies fan base with that second selection as well.
And it's well funny done. And Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett, I will take a good look at those two to figure out who I think could be better. I think R.J. Barrett will be, but you never know because Ja Morant is super electrifying.
Whoever will be better will not end up with the New York Knicks.
Real quick, by the way, before I say goodbye, we'll have Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, with us in about 15 minutes actually right at 12:15. So he's going to be in town talking to the First Coast Hurricane fans. So we'll say hello to him and then also expect to have Jimmy Smith. And you know as well as I do, Mike, Jimmy can at least give a little bit of an idea as to what Telvin might be going through. And we'll get his take on the Jaguars coming out of the draft and everything else.
All right, Joe, have a good show. Thank you, bud.
All right, buddy, thank you.
There he goes, XL Primetime out at Southampton today. That will do it for us. Final thoughts for Fat Tony. What do you got? What do unnamed sources tell you? about our show tomorrow.
Unnamed sources are saying that Mike DiRocco may be here for the show tomorrow.
I believe he will.
We can get his reaction to everything that's going on with Telvin here on the radio. And I need to go check out Chernobyl, apparently.
That's good. It's good. Radiation, bad. Chernobyl, the show, good, however. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for playing along. For Fat Tony, for Emmanuel Thalloran and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back tomorrow from 10 to noon once again with Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville, let's go.